Hello. As your host for Good Word, this is Bruce Johansson, professor of biblical studies at the School of Theology at Walla Walla University. We continue to look at agents of hope in the Bible. And to assist us in discussing these rich and fascinating persons, I'm pleased to welcome Dr. Zdravko Stefanovic, whose specialty is Old Testament, and Dr. Dave Thomas, who is chairman of the School of Theology and specializes in systematic theology. Gentlemen, welcome to our discussion.
Thank you.
We have one of the greats, truly great persons, agents of hope from the Old Testament this time. So far, we've been looking at New Testament people, and this person is Daniel. Mission in a pagan land, Daniel and company. I'm wondering, might be good to look, first of all, a little bit at Daniel's background, who he was, when he was born, the influences on his life. You gentlemen can share some things on Daniel. What do we know about him?
Yeah, I think Zdravko should do this.
We know some things about him. We wish we knew more.
Yeah.
One of the things that the text of the Bible informs us of is that he belonged to the nobility in Judah.
Mm-hmm.
And when we look at his name, I'm sure that many of our listeners are acquainted with the meaning of Daniel's name, and that is, God is my judge.
Mm.
And judge in the sense of savior, deliverer.
Mm-hmm.
It may be also read as a prayer that his parents were godly people who basically, through the birth of this child, wanted to confess their hope in God, that he is the one who can deliver them from oppression in life and who can bring true freedom to them. So
it's one of the beautiful things about this culture, isn't it? You had a little more freedom with naming your kids and meaningfully. I'm wondering, this man, he was born sometime around King Josiah's reform, wouldn't we say? And
just for the sake of the audience, when would that be?
Around 622 B.C., possibly very close to the time when the lost scroll of Moses, the servant of the Lord, was rediscovered in the temple.
Yeah. Mm. And that started a huge reformation.
It did.
Mm. Time of cleansing. There's a sense in which Daniel, as a young man, went through two very traumatic experiences that probably would have raise some very profound theological questions. What would be the first one of those?
Well, Bruce, before you go there, you had asked a little while ago about the formative influences on Daniel.
Yes.
I wanted to share one thought that I, for a long time, have been fascinated by the fact that Daniel, who grew up in a time when wickedness was so rampant that God was going to send the nation into captivity, that he grew up as a righteous young man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I wonder about the influences of his family and also about the decisions that he made. Growing up in a privileged area, he was amongst the gentry or the prince. Lots of opportunities for shenanigans and misbehavior, mm-hmm. and yet you don't read anything against him.
It's really quite amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, I think that that old hymn, Dare to be a Daniel, is a very challenging one. And I think Daniel forms a great model for young people today if they want to look at his life.
Yes, absolutely.
So back to your question about two things.
Yes, the first great trauma, if one could say.
Certainly the death of that godly king Josiah, under whom a great religious reform was underway in Judah.
Yeah.
And then I would list the captivity, the actual destruction of Jerusalem.
Those two terrible things.
And he is carried away into a foreign land, into the land of a people who are viewed to be very unrighteous, although not as bad as the Assyrians, the Babylonians,
no,
who are perceived to be a little bit better. But so he's carried away, and we imagine him hiking, 700 miles through what we know as the Fertile Crescent, and coming finally to the great citadel of the enemy.
And that hike very often was a hike of attrition, where only the fittest survived.
Yeah.
Of course, the Syrians were worse at that than the Babylonians, I believe.
And, you know, I don't know if you're going to come to this, but I'm always astonished when I read the book of Daniel how the intent of the Babylonians seems very clear, that they were going to, is Babylonianize a word?
Yes.
They were going to turn him mm-hmm. into a Babylonian, even changing his name.
Yes.
Which I think is an astonishing reality. If you moved away and they change your name, the whole idea is that your former identity should be lost.
It's gone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. But he hung on to that somehow.
Yeah, yeah.
In the midst of what must have been terrible questions, here was this wonderful reformation with Josiah. Josiah goes out to fight Necho and loses his life.
Yeah.
Where is God?
Yeah. And where is God? How do the Babylonians, who are perceived to be wicked,
yes.
overrun the promised land,
mm-hmm.
and God does nothing about it? In fact, God says, I think, to Habakkuk that he's going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a great choice.
How did Daniel come to deal with that in a way, and maybe, again, what influences were on him? I believe Jeremiah had some impact on his life in the way that he, you know, reacted to all of this.
Certainly that his reading of the prophetic scrolls mm-hmm. Made an impact on him. I would like to say a few words about Jeremiah, but before that, even in the book of Isaiah in chapter mm-hmm. 39, if Daniel ever had a chance to read these words, and there's a
good chance that he did,
where the prophet told the king, and some of your descendants, your own flesh and blood, who will be born to you, will be taken away, and they will become servants in the palace of the king of Babylon. And by reading these words, Daniel could have come to an understanding that this was a tragedy.
Yeah.
No question about it. And yet, God was capable of working something good out of that situation.
Yeah.
Which means that when things go bad in life, God still has a plan.
Mm.
And apparently this is what happened in Daniel's life. And then in looking up to Jeremiah as his role model and the way in which he related to the Babylonians, which was countercultural, you know, of the time,
yeah.
Daniel decided to have a positive attitude toward Babylon.
This is an amazing thing, isn't it? He could have, as part of the aristocracy, as one of the pampered ones, he should have been very bitter. He should have been down at the river weeping and wailing with the rest of his countrymen. But here he has, and then coming into a position of privilege again. Actually, he was one of the cream of the crop, and he is handpicked and given a new name. So he's in danger of not only losing his country, his identity. How didn't he also become an opportunist? Mm-hmm. How didn't he sort of yeah. just, you know, say, okay, I lost all that, I'm going to make the best out of this, I'm going to play the power game? What yeah. were the ingredients that kept this fellow so true, so pure?
Well, before you brought in the power game idea, I was thinking that perhaps, you know, Daniel had also read the instructions to settle from Jeremiah, I think, mm-hmm. to settle down and mm-hmm. even buy fields and,
yes.
and have children, have families. I think an indication that they were going to be there a while, but also that life, even in the midst of adversity, should be, you know, achieve a certain normalcy. But escaping power, not falling prey to power, Bruce, is a very challenging subject.
It really is, yeah. isn't it?
I think that speaks volumes about the godliness and the integrity of that man.
So he was soaked in Scripture.
Yeah.
He had the influence of holy persons on his life.
Yeah, but we also have examples of his own devotion, you know, in the story where he's found praying every day.
Chapter 6.
Yeah, mm-hmm. every day.
Three times a day.
Yeah.
And even when a small expediency would have saved him from great mm-hmm. distress and destruction, he doesn't bend.
And he has the kind of discipline to live somewhat of, I don't think it was as austere as people try to make it out to be, but I think he lived a very simple lifestyle
yeah. Yeah.
In terms of his habits, his yeah. food, and so forth.
Yeah.
I feel humbled by the words in Daniel 6 that say how when Daniel was at the peak of his career and prosperity, his enemies knew that he was daily praying to his God.
Mm.
Now, I tend to pray more when I'm in a difficulty, but here he is prospering. He's mm-hmm. favored by the king,
mm-hmm.
and still he's committed in his prayer because the text says Daniel prayed three times a day just as he had done before,
mm.
as it was his custom would be another way to translate.
And so he navigated boom and bust, prosperity and near death many, many times, and made his way through that. I'm thinking of his spiritual journey in terms of the promise. Some of the scriptural things, Daniel wrote prophecy for us, apocalyptic, one could say, very powerful about the victory of God and everything. And yet, not everything was clear for him, was it?
No. In fact, I am very moved by the last verse in the book of Daniel, where it's very clear that Daniel came to his old age and even to the point of death without really understanding everything that he had written. I read it that way anyway. And God said to him, Daniel, don't worry about it. You're going to rest, but your place in the kingdom is secure.
Could you sort of unpack what it was that he was troubled about?
He had been informed by the great prophets like Isaiah that God was preparing a way to open the door to the Gentile nations to come to his light, to come to his salvation. And he received more instructions on how that could happen in the future. And yet it was not easy to see all the details how God would work that out. And he wanted to learn more, but there were limitations for him. Limitations of the time and in which he grew up and so on. And here is a lesson to us that some things just remain the statements of faith, and we may not be able to know all of the details, but we can trust God, you know, in the principles of his pronouncements.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, one of the great sources of hope to me in Daniel is his projection of the coming of the kingdom of God. And, you know, that's good news, because the kingdom of God is a kingdom of righteousness.
Yeah.
And the coming of the kingdom of God represents the ending of all the business, the monkey business, and the sin of earth. And so, in that sense, to catch a view of Daniel's vision about what is to come is very, very, it infuses life with a lot of hope.
Mm. We think of Daniel as an apocalyptic writer, and yet we find Jesus and others referring him to him as a prophet. Do prophecy and apocalyptic have anything in common?
some people make a big distinction between the two, but what we can say is that the apocalyptic aspect of prophecy is far more cosmic.
Yes, but they are both messages of hope.
Definitely.
Messages of hope. Gentlemen, I want to thank you for our discussion about Daniel, this great man who inspires us. And I also want to thank our program engineer, John Campbell, and I want to thank our listeners for listening in to our session of Good Word. For Good Word, this is Bruce Johansson.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.